Well, you are indeed listening to Share Radio Morning, and I'm Sarah Pennells. We're making that pound in your pocket go a little further. Now, do you think of yourself as a creative person? Well, even if you don't, all is not lost. As author and creativity expert Claire Bridges can attest, she's helped more than 10,000 people in companies including Sky and Vodafone find their hidden creative streaks, improving profits and company performance. She's just published a new DIY guide called In Your Creative Element. And Share Radio reporter Sarah Machem spoke to her earlier and began by asking, what is the definition of creativity?
Creativity is a famously tricky thing to define, really, and I think that's partly because it involves every sense that we have, so sight and smell, hearing, feeling, taste, and some would say even perhaps the extrasensory when people talk about magic or serendipity and those kind of things in relation to creativity. But I think it also becomes a little bit tricky because we tend to think about creativity often in terms of artistic creativity, when really in business what we're talking about is what we call applied creativity. So, you know, the fact that I'm a really terrible at drawing really has absolutely nothing to do with whether I'm a good problem solver and whether I can be creative at work. So in terms of definitions for me, there's a definition that Sir Ken Robinson, who's a creativity guru and he's a UK government advisor, some of your listeners may have seen his TED talk on creativity. He defines creativity as the process of having original ideas that have value. And I really like that definition because I think it makes it tangible and understandable what it is that we're trying to do rather than I sometimes think trying to define creativity is like trying to nail jelly to a wall. There's really talking the process means that there is a way of doing it that we can all do. We do naturally, but that we can learn as well. The idea of originality in there, it's got to be new. And of course, in business, it must have value. So that might be a shareholder value. That might be sales. That might be reputational. But there is a value to it. Whereas we could probably talk all day long about the value of artistic creativity. We could argue all day about whether Damien Hirst or Grayson Perry's creative, but in terms of business, we need to have an output. And I think that's sometimes why it gets a bit tricky to define.
So you're talking about a monetary value rather than an artistic value. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, in relation to business creativity, and the book really focuses on business creativity, which is because I've spent 20 years, you know, having to be creative in my day job. And there are lots of brilliant commentators and people who talk about artistic creativity. But I'm really, yeah, talking about that applied creativity, because the holy grail of creativity is really that we do something that's creative, that is new and original. But the value is then that it has some business benefit. It doesn't always have to be financial, actually. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, an organization trying to manage your corporate reputation, if you're doing something creative and interesting, then that might be about trust. That might be about fundraising if you're a charity. If you're a government or a political organisation, that value in creativity is about getting people to vote for you. So it's not always financial, but often in business it's going to be.
And we often hear the word innovation or companies being innovative.
Yeah.
What's the difference between creativity and innovation, or isn't there one?
It's a really good question. And I think when I'm running workshops and talking to people, people do get quite muddled about this. But in terms of how academic literature looks at it, really, is that it's the difference. They sort of call it the hard and the soft, if you like. So innovation is the hard end and creativity is the soft. But you can't have innovation without creativity, but you can have creativity without innovation. And there's a lot of research out there. There's one particular study that shows you need to have about 3,000 rough ideas, or, you know, raw ideas, in order to get a product or service that actually exists and comes to market. So that would be the innovation, the actual physical hard thing. Of course, in the way that we live now, that hard thing may actually be an app, or it might be a piece of software. It might not be, you know, a product, an FMCG product or a new pair of Nikes, but it is a physical thing that exists, mm-hmm, as a result of all those creative ideas.
And your focus now is very much on helping businesses to become more creative. And the list of clients that you've helped is quite impressive. Some
yeah,
big companies up there.
Yeah.
Why is creativity so important to business, and what difference does it make?
Well, I think it ties into the piece really about creativity feeding innovation to a large extent, because ultimately we talked about definitions of creativity just now and impacting the bottom line. You know, you've got to have the creativity and that effectiveness, and that is often about sales, I say, changing perceptions or reputations. So if you don't feed that innovation pipeline, I know you've been talking this week and talking recently about the high street retail figures from Christmas. And I think that's a really good example of companies that have to constantly, you know, the supermarkets or the high street retailers and all their Christmas figures and all the stuff you've been talking about. They have to constantly innovate in terms of, if you're talking about, you know, Marks and Spencer's or Sainsbury's or Lidl or their food products, all their Christmas food product development requires, that's innovation, that's something that's going on the shelf. That requires them to be ever more creative to persuade you or me to go in, you know, and buy whatever Christmas fare we want to from one store over another. If they didn't keep innovating, if they didn't keep changing their product offer, then we might get bored or go somewhere else. That obviously also feeds into the way they advertise. I mean, of course, the Christmas advertising is now an event in itself, which, you know, seems crazy, really, is waiting for the latest John Lewis advert or whatever it is. But it's also about the in-store experience, the loyalty program. So they feed each other. So ultimately, I mean, you only have to look at companies that have not focused on continuing to create and innovate. You know, the Blackberry's, Kodak, all the sort of casualties that rested on their laurels, did not keep innovating, were making a lot of money and were seen to be innovative, became complacent, and then actually have stagnated or even worse, died. So that is really the bottom line, I think, it is about whether you can continue to develop products and services that people want to use and buy, or whether you're going to rest on your laurels. That's the difference. So it's hard-nosed commerciality, actually. And I think a lot of people think about it as this soft, sort of fluffy thing that's hard to pin down, but it's not.
And when you go into these companies, I mean, I'm sure companies vary from one to the next, but I'm imagining this is maybe not what happens, but you go into a room full of sales executives, let's say. How do people react to you? Are they quite open to what you're saying, or do you find people are quite skeptical, especially perhaps people who have been in the business for a few years?
Yeah, it's a bit of both, actually, but I think that increasingly, because creativity can give you competitive advantage, companies know and understand that, and as you say, and that's why I'm there. And I also think because my background is marketing and PR, I had to do this for companies like Starbucks and Danone and all sorts of organisations over the years. I've had to be creative myself and help those companies come up with ideas to help them do whatever, as you said at the beginning, the creativity needs to do, which is meet their objectives. So I think there's a real mix of people in the room. And this is not, you know, creativity training and the workshops I run, the most popular workshop I run is called How to Be a Creative Ninja. And I've trained nearly 10,000 people in that course now over a sort of 7 or 8 year period. And what I'm doing in a way is lifting the lid on sort of some of the, and demystifying some of the ways people think about creativity and giving people's tools and techniques and sharing with them how they can be more creative themselves. So it is not, you know, it's not, I think there's this sort of awful cringe-worthy kind of perfect curve, that awful PR agency, but brilliant PR agency parodied on the BBC, but about, you know, what creativity training is going to be like. But actually what it is it's really about saying, look, here are some skills, some tools, some techniques that you can learn, that I learned. So I got the word creative in my job title when I'd been working for about 16 years by that point. And I suddenly thought, oh, I really need to do something about this now. It's not just something that I'm being considered that I can do personally. I've got to help other people do it. So there's tools and techniques and processes that you can share, and there are thousands of them out there. And one of the things that I've done in the book is create a toolkit, which is around 25 tools to help people to tackle problems more easily. But it's also very much about mindset as well. So I think creativity is massively about confidence. It's about your confidence to trust yourself, to be able to articulate your idea in a meeting or in a brainstorm, particularly if it's full of extroverts who are all shouting and you're more introvert and you don't particularly want to speak anyway. You know, a group brainstorm is an introvert's nightmare. And actually, if you don't really manage the process properly, then you might as well not bother having them in the meeting, because it's a kind of he who shouts or she who shouts loud scenario. So a lot of that is about confidence, and it's about having confidence and also self-censoring. You know, we censor ourselves, don't we, a lot, even in a meeting or brainstorm. You might be having that inner critic in your head who's just saying, don't say that, it's stupid, or, you know, everyone's going to think you're crazy, or they're just going to think you're mad, or that's not viable, so don't say it. But when you're trying to generate ideas, you need to be able to try and silence that inner critic a bit in order to let you do that.
Are there certain personality traits which can help make you more creative, or do you think it's an attitude?
So I think it's a combination. It's so complex. The research I did for the book was very much informed by my studies. I studied for a master's in creativity, innovation and leadership. And so I studied the psychology of creativity and psychology of creativity and innovation. And I'm also really interested in the neuroscience of creativity. So what's actually going on in our brains, in our grey matter, when we're being creative. So I work with a neuroscientist to help me unpick that. So to answer your question, there are lots of different things. It's like a great big complex soup of stuff that comes from our values, our beliefs, certainly characteristics, and then, as I mentioned, or talked about, the idea of our experiences, of our life experiences. But I think fundamentally there are characteristics. There are things that are either natural to you that you can do, or you can try and actually work on to try and help yourself be more creative. So Steve Jobs famously, his famous quote about creativity was that he said that creativity is just connecting things. And that really resonates with me, because one of the key characteristics that I think you need to be creative, and a lot of the academic literature, and I think we know intuitively, is being curious. We need to be curious about the world. We need to be able to be curious about absolutely everything around us. And I think one of the ways of doing that and being curious, finding more things to connect, to use, you know, Jobs' metaphor there, is to stop looking down at our devices and to look up in the world. The historian Swami Sharma.
It's quite a challenge.
Yeah, no, it's true. But, you know, we can get, of course, inspiration from our devices, and we can use technology. I'm a big fan of using technology to help you be more creative. But I think, you know, the last study that I saw is horrific. We're spending 3 hours a day on our phones, and we look at them 180 times a day, and the first time's at 7:33 in the morning or whatever it might be, you know, before we've even had our breakfast. And there is a big debate going on, actually, interestingly, talking about definitions of creativity in the art world. There's a big debate going on about what this looking down is doing to our creativity, and actually doing to our ability to actually be able to connect with other human beings. You know, and creativity also thrives on diversity. So it thrives on diversity of thought and ideas, and, you know, that conversation that you might have with, I don't know, a cabbie, or the person that you're, you know, when you're paying for your shopping, or, you know, whoever you're having an interaction with. All of those things might give you more dots to join, more ways to think about the world, more frames of reference to get you potentially out of just your way of thinking about things. So it's about perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So curiosity is a really big characteristic. And the other one, I think, if you marry with curiosity, if you marry what I call grit, discipline, the ability to be able to stick with things when the going gets tough.
Claire Bridges, creativity expert and author of In Your Creative Element, that's a new book on creativity in business. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on Share Radio.